The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Pope Leo has criticised the corporate pay packages that offer executives salaries many multiple times higher than their employees, and he cited the prospect of Elon Musk becoming a trillionaire. He was speaking to Elise Ann Allen, senior correspondent in Italy for The Crux. It's for her new book, which is called Leo the 16th, Citizen of the World, Missionary of the 21st Century. And Elise Ann Allen joins us now. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Tell me how this interview came about, which is, I suppose, the genesis of the book you're about to publish.
Yes, it is actually the whole book contains. It's not a book interview; it's still something biographical, but contains various testimonies and interviews with people and close colleagues and collaborators and fellow Augustinians who have known the Pope throughout his life. And of course, I was approached for this project by Penguin Peru. I had met several months prior to the conclave, an editor, an acquisitions editor with them. So I was approached by them to do this book on Pope Leo shortly after the conclave. And for me, it just seemed natural to ask for the Pope's own participation. If I'm doing something biographical, it just makes sense, to have his own input. So I put in the request and to my surprise, he accepted. And I think that's for a few reasons. As one of the very few Americans in the Roman Curia, I mean, we had known him and had some contact with him before the election, of course. So he kind of knew us. And I think there was a trust level there. But also, this is something biographical, and it's not necessarily a hard-hitting news interview. And I think he liked the idea of presenting himself to the world in this way. But
I presume a key element of this was that it was Penguin Peru, and he does, of course, hold Peruvian citizenship, although that may lapse once you're the head man in the Vatican.
No, he actually just renewed it. They came, the people from, who are in charge of that, office, the citizenship office, came to the Vatican and presented him with a new ID card just a month after his election. So he still maintains dual citizenship and perhaps, I don't know what you call the tri-citizenship now, because he's also a citizen of Vatican City, of course. So he holds three different nationalities, if you will.
Now, how intimidating is it to interview the Pope? Because we know Pope Francis would talk to journalists in a very ad hoc way. I mean, he would, if he met them, he'd talk to them. But this was kind of just yourselves and the Pope and a long and deep conversation.
Yeah, so in total, it was 3 hours of conversation in the two different sit-down meetings that we had. They were each about an hour and a half. The first, again, covered his life and biography. The second was sort of this look to the future. Anytime you interview the Pope, there are some nerves there, But again, we had some contact with Cardinal Prevost before. And I had met him actually for the first time when I was traveling to Peru in 2018. So, it wasn't he wasn't completely new to me. And there was a sort of comfort level there. And, I have to say, honestly, from the Robert Prevost I met in 2018 to Pope Leo, absolutely nothing has changed. He is absolutely himself 100%. He's very natural, very calm, very serene. Tries to be very honest and very transparent. He's very much himself, and I would say nothing has changed since before his election to after. The clothes have changed, but he's very much the same man. And it was, whatever anxiety was there at the beginning just sort of faded away once we started the conversation. It was very natural. For the first one, it was just he and I in the room, and you just felt like you were talking to somebody that, an acquaintance, and perhaps, I don't know, I wouldn't call him a friend necessarily. I don't want to call myself a friend of the Pope, but there's just a comfort level there that we kind of eased into. And I think he does that with everybody. He's a very disarming person just because he's so very natural and calm. And he's still very interested in the person sitting in front of him.
Now, of course, as a journalist, you're interviewing somebody and you're on the lookout for unexpected things. I mean, you might expect him to talk about the power of prayer and the direction of the church. And then he talks about Elon Musk.
Exactly. So he brings that up and he brings up, the wage gaps, that there are today. So part of me was like, OK, he's He's very attentive to what's going on in global affairs, and maybe he's not willing to talk about it so directly yet. You know, he said this is all very new to me. So I got the sense that he's guarded, but there's a lot more that he wants to say, perhaps. You know, and so talking about Elon Musk also reminded me of things Pope Francis has said. You know, very much they share the same concerns, I think, in terms of global inequalities and the direction that the world is heading in that regard, and the impact that has on the poor. He's somebody that has always prioritized the poor. So when you're talking about, you know, Francis would often mention, you know, the 1%, you know, who contain most of the world's wealth, and the rest of the world is, you know, not the rest of the world, but much of the rest of the world is living in poverty. He comes from, you know, the poorest region in Peru, is where he served for so many years. And what he saw there is just abject poverty, a lack of development. And so when you're talking about somebody, you know, who's becoming this trillionaire, and, you know, you're looking at this growing disparity, I think that's something he's very attentive to, and we're going to hear a lot about in the coming years.
Now, one of the stories that is big in Ireland at the moment is the revelation from a conference he was at in Peru, where he spoke not as Pope, but as a bishop, about being attacked in Ireland during a visit. And this was on foot of the child abuse scandals that had occurred here and indeed elsewhere in the church. And he described the person who attacked him. And by the way, he was rescued by a burly Augustinian who protected him. But he mentioned the anger of the individual. Did he speak of that at all?
He did not mention that on this occasion. He did mention, you know, he's only been hospitalized once. So whatever minor injuries he might have sustained during that assault, it wasn't serious. You know, this other Augustinian stepped in. He did not address it. But of course, he spoke, and we spoke at length about the clerical sexual abuse crisis, which he sees as one of the biggest priorities of the church right now. He's very aware of the negative impact, obviously, that that's had. He's very aware of the church's past treatment of victims in terms of not believing them, and in terms of, you know, prioritizing institutional needs over the victims. So it's something he's very aware of, but he also is trying to look after the institution too. It's his, you know, and he has to care for that. He has to care for the victims. So he's trying to balance everything, you know, and I think incidents like what happened in Ireland woke him up even more. You know, it's not that he was ever unaware, but when you go through something like that, it makes you so much more aware of the feelings and the hurt that is there. You know, and so he's somebody that has a lot of experience in the abuse crisis, even outside of that incident, and is very aware of what the stakes are here. And he's trying to move forward on that. I can tell you it's a very big priority.
Now, the direction of the church going forward, I mean, the place of women in the church, did he have anything to say about that?
Yes, he did. I can't tell you too much. The book's not out yet.
Sure.
But, you know, he's very comfortable with women in leadership. It's something that he's done throughout his life, is place women in leadership in the parishes that he ran in Trujillo, also in the Diocese of Chiclayo. He had a habit of creating these little commissions, little groups of lay people and priests and religious to, you know, teams to handle different areas of pastoral outreach or administration in the diocese. And many of them were led by women. So he's somebody that's very comfortable with women in leadership. He sees their abilities and wants to encourage and empower that. You know, I don't think we're going to see, you know, women's priestly ordination with him. You know, he's not going to cross any lines that Francis himself didn't cross, you know. But we are going to see him paying very close attention to that. And I think we'll continue to see, you know, women being placed in prominent positions of authority and leadership. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be ordained, but they will have more space under him. I'm sure of that.
And finally, I should ask you about his views on conflict around the world, whether it's in Somalia or South Sudan or Gaza or Ukraine. Is he likely to be a very outspoken pope? And do you think he will try to use his position and influence to bring about some sort of mediation in conflict?
I think absolutely 100%, yes. And he already has. You know, from the first day he stepped out on the balcony, his very first words were, "Peace be with you." And he talked about building bridges. That's something he takes very seriously. And of course, we did speak about conflict in the world. You know, we spoke about, you know, the wars in Gaza and in Ukraine, and also inter-ecclesial conflicts. You know, the world is very divided and very polarized. And He spoke about polarization, wanting to build bridges within the church, but also outside of it. He sees that very much as his role. I think he understands that he needs to be sort of a preacher of peace. And I think he's going to be extremely outspoken on this. I think he is still learning how to use his voice as Pope. You know, one of the things that came out in the excerpts yesterday is that all this is very new to him, especially kind of being thrown into the role of a world leader, you know, from somebody who's very low profile. Being thrown into that, I think, is just taking a while for him to get used to. But he's learning how to use his voice. The more that he does, I think we're going to hear certainly a lot more on that in even the coming months and years.
Well, your book, we'll have to wait until 2026 to see it in English. But Leo, Citizen of the World, Missionary of the 21st Century, is going to be published by Penguin Peru in a couple of days' time. And then, as I say, we'll have to wait until 2026 to read it in English. But Crux Senior Correspondent, Elise Ann Allen, its author, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.